the title of what I was going to say is, and I said, he meant it for good. He is God, and it is you. So God meant you for good. My question to you would be, have you made yourself available for it?
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, he thought it was. You know, a lot of times we make ourselves available to receive good. And we desire to receive good. But God wants you to know his desire is that you be good. And since he already realizes that you can't do that on your own, he knows that, and he's listening for you, by the way, to call on his name a lot. Because really, that's the only way any of us can be good. Oh, yes. I've had a great, great, great week. And if my wife were to get up here and say that to you, she might just tell you the opposite. Everyone out here that knows me knows my favorite scriptures, for I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory of God, which shall be revealed in us. That is a tongue load of stuff. That's Romans, the 8th chapter, the 18th verse. I'm saying that because I get the honor to tell you I've suffered all week. But all week, God has drawn me close. It becomes an honor to suffer when you know that God has drawn you close all week. And you realize you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. And thank God for the price that his son was willing to give. Well, anyway, Rich could tell you if I asked him to speak, which I'm not asking him to. But he could tell you that Wednesday I called into the program and I was excited. And I was excited because of something that he had said on the program, and I believe this is what you said. Calling those things that aren't as though they are, like I had to remember that one. And that's one of my favorite scriptures because I believe that's the Christ in me calling forth the Christ in you and the Christ that exists outside of us. And tell him, our faith is in you and you alone. We don't have faith in our abilities because you know what? I'm finding out as I get older, it's really nice to be able to walk. Now, come on. It's really nice to be able to walk. And Kurt, I ain't quite come this far yet, but I believe one day it will probably be nice to run again. But at one time, I used to be a cross-country track runner in high school, and I could pretty well run. But you know what? As things go by, God's plan was for me to run then, walk now. And he has given me a song, but before I get to that song, which I'm not going to sing to you, I'll be like my son-in-law. I will spare your ears. I have to tell you something. He has a plan for your life. And today you need to get on board with the plan. You need to quit playing church. And I had already told my class, I'm going to say some things you're not going to like. I don't care. I only care what the Father likes. Somebody used to say to me, how dare them say this to me, but they used to say to me, you can either like it or lump it. And in some cases, my brother got the opportunity to make me lump it. But the Lord is doing such a wonderful thing in today's world that I've heard for the last two or three weeks how bad the world is. Well, I got news for you. The world that God created, heaven and earth, shall pass away. But if we're going to deal in a world, let's deal in the one that he's making today. See, my God's still creating that kingdom come, thy will be done. He's still doing that. He hasn't changed his plan. That's why he taught us to pray that. Thy will be done, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants you to pray in such a way that you're not caught off guard by circumstances that dictate how you react to something. Hello. Brother Oscar last week, and that's Mark last week, but Oscar has taught us and taught us and taught us, and Mark just confirmed that he said, I believe this is the way you said it. He said, my father-in-law and my dad agree that what we are called to is to a mature church. And I'm going to say that to tell you that's why we're few in numbers. Not because that's not God's will, but because people are afraid to do that. They're afraid to come into accountability to the Holy Spirit. Oh, what will I do? Well, it's not about what you'll do. It's about what you allow Him to do. Hello. Now, I'll tell you what. I am God's grace that abounds on this earth in me. God in me. I'm going to lose this thing eventually, so. Which is okay. How about me doing this? I am not worthy about my soul. Can you say the same about yours? I have every confidence in Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in me has already done what He was set forth to do. He was obedient unto the cross, unto death. And that death is what gave me life, which gave me hope. Like I said, I didn't come here today to please your ears. A lot of times I think that sometimes with Brother Clyde speaking, you're almost being anticipating being entertained. Well, I told my class this morning it's time for Clyde to get sober. So therefore, I believe it's time for you to receive sober. In 1 Peter, the second chapter, listen to what it says, starting with the 9th verse. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a dedicated nation. I love what it says in the Amplified. That's why I'm reading it out of there. God's own purchase. Special people that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues of perfections of Him who called you out of darkness into a marvelous light. In that one paragraph, God has told you His plan. For you and for me and for the church. I've been listening all week and challenging people at work all week. You know, God's given me the privilege to talk to a bunch of people, and He's also given me a privilege to listen to the Spirit. When God tells me to shut my mouth, I don't hesitate to do that. When He allows me to see anger come on somebody's face for something I see or have said, He allows me to repent immediately to that person. You know, this week, a lot of you don't know it, but this week I told you I had a wonderful week. I had a stiff neck 4 or 5 days. I couldn't hardly move. I worked overtime every day. But in every way, in every form, I said, God, this is You. And you know what He showed me? He said, well, I want to show you how much it's me. And He showed me your faces. Everyone that's in here, He showed me your faces. And those that aren't in here, He showed me their faces. And He said, if they only knew how much I really, really, really cared for them. You know, Wednesday, Julie, when I said hi, Julie, to you, the Lord told me that He said, that's what I'm saying to you. I want you to receive the good news from Jesus Christ this morning, Julie, that God's working on your behalf and you can quit struggling. But you got to give it up. You got to give it up. And by the way, since I said that to her, He brought a lot of you to me. And since He did, he's telling me He wants you to give up that struggle. And see, because the battle was the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But you know that when the battle was the Lord's, the victory was assured us. Because He fought the battle for us. And when any time God went to battle, that actually means He went to war. You know, some of you like to sit in your seat of comfort and think that we're not at war. And we're not talking about that physical war over there. I'm talking about a spiritual war. So we don't win victories because we don't know who our enemy is. Debbie Howler, I thought of you this week, and the Lord showed me a moving of the Spirit upon you that you can't contain, and you're not going to want to do it. Matter of fact, He would tell me to tell you He needs you to quit containing it and allow Him to just flourish. And as He's flourishing, He's going to flourish you. That's what God does. He magnifies this thing. You know, on that prayer request that Debbie wrote down, she wrote down everybody, but she missed Aaron. because that's who the Lord set before me. He set Aaron before me, and he said, you know, in Aaron, he goes like this, I'm doing the work inside of her that her mother and her grandma and her grandpa don't know about. And, you know, even her own daughter don't know about it. When God does the work, it ain't about everybody knowing about it. Because I told the class this morning, and I'll tell them one more time, I remember him healing somebody in the Bible, and he said, make sure that you don't tell nobody. Otherwise, you know, keep it quiet, you know, keep it, you know. But, you know, when somebody's laying at the pool and nobody can help them get in, and they've been laying there for a long time, and Jesus comes up to them, and, you know, he said, this day, you know, basically this day, and he heals them immediately, that's hard to keep quiet. Because you know what happens? People start noticing, ain't that the guy that was sitting there and been sitting there for 30 years? Well, you know what? He'd even get up and get in that pool. What happened to him? How did that happen? Guess what? That's what God wants people to ask you. How did that life change in you that I want? Come on, we're going to have to be accountable. We got to quit playing church, and we got to be the church. You know that God has called you to be the hope of this world? You can't turn your back on what you're supposed to do. Boy, they get quiet. I know you love what I'm saying to you. Well, I'll tell you what, God's smiling on me. Because I know his presence and I know his truth. And whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed. There's a lot of things I can say to you today that I couldn't say last week. But I've been in his presence all week. And I know that he's drawn me all week. And I feel good. And that's not only in the physical, but that's especially in the spirit. I feel good. And do you know what I know that I know that I know? Oh, Brother Eddie, love this. I know this. I know that no harm could come nigh my dwelling. Because as far as my house shall serve the Lord and everything therein. I talked to my wife this week. Occasionally I talk to her, and occasionally I listen to her. And I said, how's Josh doing? She said, well, he said this to me. I said, what did he say to you? He said, he's saying that he believes God's healed him of cancer. Must not be your son. Didn't affect you as much as it affected me. I go, okay, I'm going to believe that with him. I'm going to come to agreement with him. But I want to tell you something. When your loved one is raised up, not necessarily out of, but raised up in a situation where they have to only call upon the Lord for their strength, you're going to be happy for them. And guess what you're going to be? You're going to be light of a burden. I told the kids today, there's going to be some things said here today that they're not going to like. Okay, parents, close your eyes. I want to tell you something. Because I know you're going to open them as soon as I say this to you. But close your eyes. And you that aren't parents, but are of a parent attitude, an atmosphere of being a parent, caring for children, caring for grandchildren, close your eyes a minute. Because the Lord wants me to tell you something. He is going to take care of the very burden that you have cared for your family all the days of your life. He's going to raise them up and present them to himself, a glorious church. He's going to bring them to a place to where things of this world don't interfere and give them trouble like it's given you trouble over the years. He's going to bring them up to where if they have a physical need, it shall be met here on this earth. Because it's his presence that's going to endow them. It's going to strengthen them and encourage them. It's no longer going to be you trying. Or the doctors. You remember the issue of blood? If you'll read the story, the lady said, if I can only press toward him. But that story goes farther than that. It says not only that he touched his garment and he turned around and questioned, well, who touched my garment? And that really confused the disciples because I would have said, well, who didn't touch you? But the truth is, the one that touched him, all the doctors took her money and didn't do nothing for her. Hello, I'm talking to somebody. Are you hearing me? All the doctors took her money and couldn't help her. But I want to tell you something. There's a doctor Jesus living and abiding inside of us that can help the world. And it can help your family. Are you going to choose to let it? Now, I'll tell you what. I want to drink a whole glass full of Jesus.
All right.
We got vitamin C, A, B, and A through Z. When you take Jesus, you got it all. All right. Now, I'm not sure about you. At 64 and the things that Jesus has allowed me to go through, I finally realized something. I never went through anything by myself. Even when we're getting ready to have open heart, I told Debbie, you know what? No fear, no doubt. And I got to tell you this. I've never told you this before. I loved you before then. But I love you greater today than before then. And that's the thing about love. It's got to grow. Yes. Yes. It cannot just be said, well, I don't want them to know that about me. My goodness, you better pray the Holy Spirit don't come upon people, because they're going to know a whole lot about you. And it's going to be about the hiding places, the places, oh, that's mine, nobody knows about it. You think so, huh? I got news for you. God knows it all. There's not a place that you can hide anything from God. And remember this. This is important that you remember this, that you grab hold of this, that you listen to this. Remember this. That which you hide, God will reveal openly. And that's not me wishing it or you thinking, oh, that can't happen. Because that's going to happen. That's what he's going to do. What you do in secret? Hello, hello. Clyde, you can end at any time. No, I can't. I got in Sunday school this morning and got so thrilled with these young men and with the Holy Spirit and what I was telling them that next thing I know, Mark's sticking his head in the door. I'm thinking, he's thinking, well, you know, it's giving me 5 minutes. And he goes like, you're past time. It's after 11. It's 2 minutes after 11. Well, I got news for you. I've had a good week. You know, there's not one day that passed that I didn't wait for the clock not to get at the end of the day. Usually everybody can be late in getting there. Not in the union shop when you got to clock in. You learn that real quick. You don't clock in, you don't get paid. If you clock in late, you get money taken away from you. But I've seen a lot of people, including myself, we got a big mirror here, including myself, run to be the first one to clock out. And then when you get behind 10 guys, you go like, oh, what the heck's this? And you're wanting to clock out, but you're like, you can't push them all out of the way. Even though you go like, God, hold time, hold time, hold time. By the way, God does hold time. I got to tell you a quick story that my brother told me. I thought it was very interesting. Have you ever been running late for something? Yeah, the confession is, yes, we all have, God. But Clyde had to confess it for us. But anyway, we all have. He said he's running late to the doctors. He said, I really only have 10 minutes and I'm mega miles still away. He said, I know I'm going to be late. He said, God places this woman, you know, I'm going to change language on you. God places this woman out there in the road and she needs gas. She's out of gas. You either believe God's in control or not in control. You either believe that he's all control or he's none of it. That's the choices you got, by the way. And he, being the person that Emma Morgan raised, Pat's brother, said, I'm going to help this lady. So he stopped, helped the lady. He said, I'll get in. I'll take you to the gas station. She got in, got gas. And, you know, anybody knows that when you go to get gas, a car has preference over somebody pumping the gas in the thing. Anyway, so the place was packed, and she pumped the gas, and he put her back in the car. And then he said, I'm not leaving until you get your gas in your car and you actually get to move. And he goes like this. He said, and I got to that doctor's appointment 10 minutes early. I said, hello? You guys didn't hear that. I got there 10 minutes early. How many knows that he probably only had about 10 minutes to get there when he stopped? Now, oh, Clyde, that's wishful thinking. I believe God has control of the time. Now, there's a lot of things God's been dealing with me this week about. Let's talk about graduation for a minute. Has graduation affected anybody in here? That one means your loss, his gain. That means God took somebody home and you lost them. Well, I got news for you. What God has gained, you've never lost. He wants me to tell you this. Be ye glad in the Lord Jesus Christ that he has supreme control and there's a heavenly host over your head now round about you who you said you've lost, but he wants you to know, I am that I am and they're with me. Very quiet. You know what? We're going to enter happy one of these days. and we're not going to be able to control it because, you know, when my daughter, you know, I'm going to say this, no. I love you, I'm going to say this. You know, when my daughter gets such a laughter, the thing is, that's Mark's wife. When the thing is, when that's the boy's mother. When she gets laughing, they'll all tell you, she laughs uncontrollably. And it's like the joy of the Lord just, let's pour that ice bucket on her. She's just laughing and laughing. But this is no lie. She eventually goes like it. I mean, she makes this noise, and I'm going like, come on, what is that? I got the answer to that, by the way. That's the joy of the Lord who is not being controlled by her. And when you get the joy of the Lord where it's not being controlled by you, you won't be ashamed of what it sounds like. You won't be ashamed of where it's at. You'll be happy. God's good to us. Kirk knows I've had this. Yeah, I've had this attitude. That's what I'm going to call it, attitude. And I've had it for years. And I believe it's, of course, there's a whole body in here that will tell me what they think about it. I believe it's the attitude that God welcomes. See, I don't have to go to work every day, but every day I get to. I don't have to do extra work at work every day, but every day I get to. See, maybe some of you recognize my boss and some of you don't. Because I know a lot of bosses don't recognize my boss. They think I left her at home, which in some way is true. But the ultimate answer to that is, I work for God. And by the way, he's your boss. And matter of fact, he allowed you to be my boss. And so, if you're happy with the work that I'm doing for you, tell him. Because my job is to make you look good even though you're not. Anybody ever had a boss like that? Oh, my goodness. So many. But that's our job. It's not to get patted on the back. I get a check every week. I tell everybody, that's my reward's my check. But here's the really truth answer. My reward is my Father's happy with me. You know, it might be killing me, but they'll never know it. How can God give you a song where most people are so bitter and doing the job? He'll give you a song on the job. You'll start doing that job, and you're doing twice as much as everybody else and not caring that you are. I'm not bragging about me, by the way, but I am bragging about happy in me. When you start singing a song, they look to say something's wrong. I told the union years ago, start singing when you're doing this work. Well, they'll think we're nuts. How many of you know that I'm a peculiar person? Okay, I'm going to give you a lead way. I'm strange. I told them. Hey! Go ahead, it's okay. Anyway. Tyler's so sweet he wouldn't do anything to offend you. Now, the other boys are still sweet, but it's okay. But this is the truth. It's okay to be weird. It's okay to be peculiar. I looked it up this morning. You know what peculiar is? Peculiar is God's people. If you're not peculiar, something's wrong with you. Now, what the Lord's been doing with me this week is, remember, you don't have to be everybody's friend. Quit trying to be. If you're a friend of the world, you're not a friend of God. Uh-oh, you had to go there. The Holy Spirit will not lead you into all truth when you're in using the truth to make friends. The truth is supposed to be used, boys, the truth is supposed to be used to lift Jesus higher, to allow him to add to the kingdom daily, and allow us to be testimony, that which pleases God. And you know what? I don't know if you knew that I just described Jesus, but I just did. His testimony was that this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. How many of you want to hear that? And I don't mean from Clyde. How many of you want to hear it from the creator of heaven and earth? And you know what? I want to hear it before we get to that other side. I believe in eternal life this side, so I'm just going to tell you. If you're waiting to die to go there, I'm sorry, but that's probably how long you'll wait. I'm not waiting to do that. I'm enjoying it at this side. You know, when I came over and was talking to your mother, and I told you, did she know the Lord? And you and your sister said, well, we think so. And I said, well, today we're going to find out. Isn't that right? And you know, and I think she was trying to sleep, or she might have even been out. I don't know. Well, we walked in there, and she got awake, right? And I asked her, and she, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I said, yeah, she's saved. And she said, you know, she's ready. I'm challenging you this morning because we don't have a lot of things happen here. Are you ready? Now, you think I'm asking you, are you ready to go to heaven? That ain't what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, are you ready to be different? Because I want to tell you something. I know what it is to just want to spit, just want to bleh. And God wants to bleh. When you try to balance yourself with, I got to be friends with this guy, and this, I want them to see Christ. You want them to see Christ? Pray for them when they're standing there. Oh, what will they think? See, you got to quit caring about that. This is part of that attitude I was talking when I mentioned Kurt's name. Guy comes up and says, hey, will you pray for me and my family? I don't know he means go home and do it. I'd drop everything I'm doing, grab hold of his hands, and start praying right in the locker room. Guys are in there putting clothes on, changing clothes, whatever. I get done praying after 5 minutes. I open my eyes, and he said, I didn't know. I didn't mean now. But now's when you asked. You have not, for you ask not. And when you ask amidst, you ask it for self. You asked it for glorifying your flesh. Oh, you can do this, you can do that. Here's what I learned. James says, quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. I think I got that clearer than I used to have. Quick to hear was the quick to hear what the Father was saying to me. I believe Jesus was the quickest to hear the Father. Slow to speak is when they were challenging. You ever been challenged? When they were challenging you. They were challenging. What do you think? What do you think? What do you think? What do you believe? What do you believe? What do you believe? Not necessarily need an answer. And they'll go away believing I don't believe nothing. I challenge you this. I believe they'll seek you out again. I believe there'll come a time again when they'll ask you. And you know what? God had already prepared you from the time before because you got into the Word and you started studying the Word. And what's the Word say? Because what the Word say is Word, that's life. And that's what God wants to give them, is life. Okay. And most of the time, when you deal with your emotions, you deal with stupid. Hey, I deal with management all the time. I'm telling you the truth. And I deal with union people all the time. I'm telling you the truth. When you deal with your emotions, you deal with stupid. And when you're in the realm of what God wants you to do, you can't be led by your emotions. It says those that are led by the Spirit is the sons and the daughters of God. So, I know nobody's in here, and I know this is a lie. I know nobody in here has ever caused anybody the wrath, right? Now, parents, I want to tell you this. This is the part the kids ain't going to like. I'm going to tell you this. The biggest burden most of you ever had in your life is your children. I ain't asking for heads shake, hands up, or anything. I'm sure not asking the kids to turn around and look at you. But God wants you to know something. God meant them for good. And he has given you them for good. And he's raising them up sometimes without you for good. Oh, you didn't have to go there. And he does the same thing for grandkids, by the way. Now, Pat had a praying mother. That's Pat Bullock. Had a praying mother. Was she different? Oh, yeah, she was different. I can tell you as a little boy, we had a hallway entrance into our living room, the main living room, that the only time that door was ever open was when they were having a prayer meeting in that room. And I can tell you gladly that I've seen that door open many times. But there was a time in 1956, probably March the 17th, I walked through the house as a kid. I was with her sister, and that doorway was open. When I walked in there, I walked in real quiet because I learned that as a kid, you know, you're quiet. There might be something going on in there. And I seen my mom sitting in the chair, and when I walked in, I seen all my dad's children, who was, I can't remember if I ever seen them all together before then or not. They had been there individually. But when they see me, they started wailing. By the way, Pat loves to say this. Well, I don't know if she loves to say it, but she used to say it. Clyde is my baby brother. Yeah. Well, I love you, and I love that, but the truth is, baby brother's time to grow up. And it's time that you realize I am grown up. Everything that God wants us accountable for, I am accountable for. In our house, I tell my wife, I told my brother, anyone that would listen, I answer to God for everything that happens in there. Men, you got to quit running from it. You got to run to it. You got to do what my son-in-law said the day after Sam was born. I guess you know by now that God has given me four boys to raise to be four men. That's what the men's supposed to do. We're supposed to raise them up. Supposed to be faithful to them, raise them up. Well, anyway, so I walked in there. My dad had a stroke, and I walked in and crawled on top of the bed to see if he was there, and I couldn't see him, so I thought, well, I'll look underneath the bed, because him and me used to play hide-and-go-seek, and he wasn't underneath the bed. So as I walked back in the other room, they were wailing, crying, or whatever, and I crawled up on Mom's lap. I forgot to tell you, I was 5 years old. I was allowed to crawl up on her lap then, and I was a little guy. I was going to say a little fart, but that probably shouldn't be said in church. Anyway, but I was a little guy, and I crawled up on her lap, and I said, Mommy. She goes, yeah. I said, where's Daddy? She said, he's with God. And I looked around, and I was looking like that. And I said, where's God? Now, I want to tell you something. I've always told my kids that God's inside of you. I don't believe I ever lied to them. God's inside of you. You know how important it is for the children to know that God's inside of you? That's very important. But there's one more important thing to that. And that is that your children see God in you. We've had a lot of opportunities. God doesn't fail in his opportunities. He's given us a lot of opportunities. He put us under a lot of pressure points that under the gun or under the pressure or under the needle or under diseases or under whatever it was, open hearts, crushed shoulders, shoulders that you couldn't lift, things that we're under it, because we're under it, that God be lifted up. I started out telling you, you know, he meant it for good. God meant you for good. When are we going to choose to be good? Be good is a lot less than not doing everything we want to do. I told the boys in this morning, not that I follow them, and sometimes this is the reason you're here. I thank God the Bengals aren't playing today. Yes, they're undefeated, and that's an unusual thing. That's what I told the boys. But I also told them this. It's the unusual things that keep you from separated from God. It's the unusual things. Because we have accepted them and made them the usual. God's not happy with that. He's not happy with that. And I also told them they wouldn't like everything I said to you. And you're sitting there, well, what's he mean by that? Well, I want to tell you something. Here's what I mean by that. Anything that takes preference between you and God shouldn't happen. Now, parents, listen up. That includes your children. Grandparents, listen up. That includes your grandkids. Grandkids, listen up. That includes everything that you think you have need of. I got news for you. I believe God knows exactly what we have need of. And I believe he knows it before we pray. But he's trying to change attitude here. And you know, I'm dealing with a guy at work and is diabetic. I chose 3 months ago when my sugar was 310 and I weighed 22 pounds heavier than I am now to say, hey, enough of this nonsense. I told him, I looked in the mirror and said, that's it. We're going to stop this. You know why? Because I love you. And the Lord loves me. And he's still got me a message to give to you. He's got me being a receiver of him, you being a receiver of him, and us enjoying each other. I love you guys. I don't want to wait until I'm up here in the box and you're looking down the box and saying all kinds of matter of bad things. Well, anyway, I don't want to do that. What I want to do is I want you to know that I love you today. And if there is a tomorrow, I love you tomorrow. And all those that have gone before us love us forever. His love endureth forever. Oh, I can't put my arms around him. I can't do this. You know what? They're better for it. My goodness, we're so selfish. And self-centered, if we're going to say it the truth. How many of you would bring people that you knew were suffering back just so you could say hi? You know what makes me sick? Oh, my goodness, I sound like a radio station. What makes me sick is this. People that buy flowers and everything when they didn't even make a phone call before. We're either a friend of God's or we're not. We've got to quit playing and we got to be. I never had trouble. I heard my wife saying this morning, I was sitting in the lobby out here. Yes, I'm going to tell it. And she was talking to the women from Urbana. Yes, I heard that. And she was telling them, well, Clyde, according to Clyde, you know, we met at camp, and which we did, church camp. Oh, what year was that? It had to be 72. 69. And she had just had surgery on Valentine's Day, which I didn't know her, by the way, of 69. And she was at camp, and I can describe the culottes a lot better than she can. Because, and some of you heard this, and some of you think it's real funny. But the truth is, my sister asked me to go to church camp. And she said, they got a brand new basketball court there. And they did. And I went, no. Yeah. Do you know what God knows where you live? He does. He knows where you live. Well, anyway, she didn't get my attention until she told me this. You're going to like this, Frankie. She told me this. I said, what? She said, we have a lot of teenage girls there. And I said, when's camp? I didn't ask how much. I just asked when. And by the way, just to show you how much of a jerk I am, I had been going with a girl for almost 7 years. That ain't right. Well, how about my mother raised me right? I never did cheat on that girl at all while we were at camp. God just wouldn't let me. The God who I hadn't called upon yet. So when I first got there, I was introduced by Nanette to Debbie, which is her sister-in-law. And I'm standing there, and she's got a laugh. It's really a great laugh. Well, anyway, she's got a laugh that is a good medicine. And how many know that and I said this on the radio to Rich, and I'm sorry, that a hot guy looking for a hot girl almost grabs at anything. Well, it's better than saying horny. Anyway, so can you believe he said that? Yes. Anyway, so when I met her, she was laughing. And I'm not kidding you. It was like the Holy Spirit says, you like that. And I did. And she had a pair of culottes on, brown, gold, and beige. She had a zipper down to here or whatever. And I'm typically teenage boy, not saved yet, by the way, teenage boy. And I said, man, I love her laugh, but I just couldn't get over it. I'm thinking, because I didn't know her situation. I didn't know where she was at. And I walked away, and she whistled. And she still got that whistle, by the way. Don't want to And when she whistled, I turned around. And when I seen her unzip this, I did the best cover-up I could. Now, you got to realize, she's got a body cast on. And I'm thanking God, whether you know it or not, for her body cast. Because I had already thought she's got to be the flat-chested girl I've ever seen in my life. Anyway, but she had a cast from here to her waist. Look at that. Cynthia can't believe it at all. Anyway. But the truth is, listen to this. Brother Shepherd always used to say this. It's important that you heard that. Brother Shepherd used to say this. He said, if we could have camp for 2 weeks, by Thursday, the Holy Spirit has settled upon us so much that we'd have the greatest revival we've ever had. I'm going to stop right there and say this real quick. If I see you 2 Sundays in a row, I feel like that's a revival. We're coming upon, Margaret, don't say this to Oscar, he'll hear it on the tape. We're coming upon Pastor Appreciation Month in October. I challenge you to find a way to show your pastor that you appreciate him like you never have in your life. Some of you, that would mean attending a whole month. That's just my own conviction. But think about that. I challenge you to come up, step up to the plate and see, ask God what he'd have you to do to show your appreciation to him. Because I want to tell you something. Most of you, well, all of you weren't there, or most of you weren't there. At one time, we had 23 elders. When we had 23 elders, Brother Eddie started slowing down. God's given me grace, slowing down. And when he did, the 23 elders met and said, we have to have a plan. You know, I told you, God's got a plan for your life. And the plan is, we have to have somebody already ready to take his place. We weren't doing this and pushing him out. But we weren't going to allow things to fall either. And I think that's accountability. And I got to tell you how the vote went. One man did not vote. 22 others voted for the man who's now your pastor. Just in case you wanted to know how that happened. Now, when they were in the upper room, a mighty wind blew. And the Bible says that they were all one. Well, I believe in that meeting, a mighty wind blew. And we all became one. So God does not do anything by accident, but he does it by design. He has a plan. And I'm here to tell you today, he has a plan for your life. And it's greater than what you've allowed it to happen so far. He develops you in the areas to where he needs you and he wants you to be. Other people are out there waiting for you to get there. This church is waiting for you to get there. There's things that we need here. I'm asking you, in the name of Jesus, to step to the plate. You know, I've read books, a lot of Charles Stanley, and you guys know, I believe Charles Stanley and I, you're going to think, have same spirit. I love him. There's some things that he's challenged us over the years. I've read it here. I've read 8 pages before he told me what he wanted to do in the book. He challenged me to do it. Say I would do it for a week before he even told me what it was. My spirit was so much like his, I said, okay. I usually don't do that. I'm not the type of person that would jump in something before I knew what something was. But we have a story in the Bible that tells us that I believe his name is called Abraham, was told to get up and go to a land that he didn't know. Now, I believe he had like spirit with God. So, because he had a communication with God. He knew God's voice. He trusted God. I'm challenging you to trust God above your own self. Above your natural being. Above your natural thinking. You got to get out of that thing that's quicksand and that kills you and destroys. My Bible teaches me that he that come to kill, steal, and destroy is no good to us. It says, choose life. Then it tells you to choose it again. I tell you what, I believe God thinks some of us are a little slow. Anytime, I told the boys this, anytime the policeman's got a drawn gun and he tells you to get down, I don't mean bend gracefully, I mean hit the floor. We got to start recognizing authority in our lives and quit yielding to those things that shouldn't be in our lives. I mean, we got kids getting in school, they're getting killed, they're getting shot at. Don't deny your faith, but don't be so pompous that you stand up and you defy what the natural thing would do. Because there's people out there who don't recognize your faith. Oh, I knew Jesus, and I knew Paul, and I knew this, but who are you? You know, people aren't going to ask who you are if you allow who you are to be. I'm only halfway, anyway. Well, I'm getting up and leaving. Well, okay. There's a song that came to me this week, and it came and came and came. When you get up at 12:25 a.m. to start working at 2, I turn on 93.7, and I listen to that. I have a half an hour drive to work, and I listen to that. And I heard, I Will Wait on Thee. That was the title of the song. And if I ever knew any truth at all, even though I've told you nothing but the truth, so help me God, the truth is you have a very hard time waiting on God. You can wait on anything that you desire. You can wait on dinner. Some people can, honey. Some of us can't. Anyway, you can wait on so many things that throughout the day, I don't want to say that. I'm asking you, the things that you wait on that takes your time, is that what pleases God in your life? I know there's many of you sitting out here to believe that your children still need you completely and your grandchildren need you even more. It's not bad, and you're going to not like this at all. It's not bad to allow your loved ones to have a need and you not be it. Matter of fact, if that's ever what's stopping you from coming to church and coming together, because I don't know if you know this or not. I've known this for a long time. We need every one of you here. And we don't need you here when you choose to be here. We need you here all the time. I read in the book that, and man, I like a good book. I read in the book where it says that, you know, he said, a lot of them think that they're not needed. Well, we're more complete with you than we are without you. Amen. The only people I'd not be here is the ones that have already gone on. And by the way, they're in the heaven of hells right here. And you know what they're doing right now? They're going, yeah, tell them, Clyde. Yeah, get them, Clyde. Yeah, yeah. They're happy. How come we're so sad? Oscar always said, you know, Clyde, we know the word, we eat the word, we preach the word, but somehow it hurts me. I don't believe we believe the word. I believe with my whole heart we are what we choose to be. See, that's the control that we give up. When we get up and say, Lord, you're the controller of all. Not too long ago, I told you about a prayer I used to pray. Now I pray it the same way now. Father, I thank you for everything you've ever supplied. But I also thank you now for the things you withhold from me. You know, I know the Bible says he'll withhold no good thing to them that it is due. I believe he withholds things from us because he can't trust us with them. Somehow we won't give him the glory and the honor for allowing it to come our way. His greatest thing that he ever gave us is the same thing he gives us today. I'm going to ask that you stand up. And what he gives us today is this. It's his self.
It's His presence. You know,
if we'll realize that He's always with us, He'll never leave us, never forsake us, then we'll be a happy people. Yes. We'll be a people that says, God, Your word declares it, therefore I believe it. I believe, and He says that He'll honor His word above His name. Honoring His word above His name. His people ought to be a people that honor their word above their name. Now, some of us was raised in an area that if you don't honor your name, you're nothing. You don't honor your word, you're nothing. But I'll tell you something. God has kept His word. He's keeping it every day. I told the boys, Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I heard Rich say, and I jumped out of my chair when he said this. He healed yesterday. He heals today. Who needs healing today? Raise the arm you can. Receive it right where you're at. Receive it right where you're at. Who needs healing? How many children that you know needs healing today? How many of them need salvation today? Raise your hand if you know them. Go ahead. How many think that because they're in your household, they're okay? I got news for you. If they ain't in the household of God, they're not okay. I was raised in Emma Morgan's house, and it was full of the Holy Ghost, but I wasn't full of it. I was full of it, but wasn't the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you, we got to quit playing. We got to be. We got to want to be. We got to want to be. We got to choose to be. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank You for Your presence here today. We thank You for Your truth. Because whom the Spirit has set free is free indeed. I just ask that You bless this people. Give them a hunger and a desire to choose Jesus above all things, that You might be glorified. And I want to tell you something, parents. All you that think that you messed up with your children, God's got them right in the palm of His hand. Leave them there. Leave them there. If they're in misery, leave them there. Because God can bring them out. So it's in Jesus' name we pray. And they all said, amen and amen. Anyone need prayer? Come forward. If not, have a great day.